Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, canned show, I might say. It comes out of a can on Saturday night, May 30th, 2009. So we are, as promised, we are going to be continuing on with the educational tape that we were doing last Saturday night, followed by one of my earlier radio shows on KFOX out of Long Beach, which was I was the voice of science in Southern California for a few years. And last night we had Steve Barish coming, signing in a little bit late, but better late than never. And we had a great discussion on the electronic harassment techniques and how it affects you and your loved ones and the voices in your head and all that stuff and what that really is all about. And so I'm sure it's probably archived by now. And so if you want to hear a really good live show, even though it's not live at the moment, I would recommend that you go to the May 29th show that we did and grab a listen on that puppy. So anyway, let's, without any further ado, let's get Dr. Bell going.
You can imagine some, you know, look how spaced out I am now. Look where I started, you know. I can attest to that. When I went in the Air Force, I went to the 776th Aero Squadron, which is the parent of the 773rd. The 773rd was located at Montauk, where Al Bielek and all those guys were. I was out here on the West Coast. They were on the East Coast. And the funny thing about working with those radars, a couple of real interesting things came up. Number one, those radar sets work between 375 and 425 megahertz, which happens to be the exact frequency that DNA reproduces in the body. If you were to take a single strand of DNA and unwind it from each cell in your body before you start to age and it shrinks and changes wavelength, you would see it as 39.5 centimeters long, which frequency-wise is about 400 megahertz. So when you start working with equipment that works on human DNA frequencies, a lot of strange things start to happen. There's no way around it. And you talk to anybody that ever worked on one of those early warning radar sites, nobody there was even close to sane. Crazy things happened all the time on all these sites. Eventually, of course, it caused the destruction of the sites. But what was really interesting working on the radars, the main two radars that we both squadrons had was called the ANFPS-35 radar. And I do my workshop in a couple hours or an hour, so I'll show you pictures of all this because I got lots of nice pictures. Those radar sets, when they were developed over at Los Alamos, they had a particular problem with them, and that was that we were being observed by extraterrestrial visitors, which really started in great intensity right after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So while we're building these radar sets, this is the generation before me. I got to install them and operate them. This is when they developed them, previous generation. When they did that, these Renticulan ships got into their beams, which are going up and down the valley from Los Alamos down to Albuquerque. When they got inside their beams of 5 million watts, they didn't have proper shielding on their plutonium reactors. The aliens didn't. So it started causing a whole rift of crashes. Crashes, for example, like Roswell. Crashes like Laredo. Aztec. There were many of them. The real secrecy came with the Roswell crash when it was actually a twofold crash. And there's a new book that's out written by, I forget the guy's name, but he used to work at the Pentagon. It's pretty interesting. It's got a lot of interesting facts in it. He talks about some of the technology switches from the alien to our technologies and how it was accomplished. But one of the interesting things, when the ship crashed, the Roswell ship broke in two parts, and one when they recovered one part, which is on the second day. Remember, Jesse Marcel made his announcement on the first day about a saucer, and then the second day the whole scenario had changed because on the second day they found a ship that was crashed full of human body parts. There was enough parts in there from over 100 human beings. That's when the secrecy, that's when the MJ-12 was formed. That's when things got a little bit tight. And I was around in those days. I remember those days. And so as a result, the government got very paranoid. In 1954, we ended up making a deal with the aliens in Muroc Field, which is now Edwards. It was on February 18th when Eisenhower was out there. And basically, we gave him sanctuary for exchange in technology. That exchange of technology was really big. They immediately moved a bunch of the aliens up to Dulce, New Mexico. I've been up there. I've brought film crews up there. We've x-rayed all the ground up there, located all kinds of machines underground, running at 400 hertz frequencies, which are military frequencies. The reason they choose places like Dulce is very similar to their same choices over in Kauai in Hawaii. These are volcano sites, and they have underground lava tubes, so it doesn't take much to excavate a little bit more area so that they can have their cities there. There are several million grays on this planet right now. I don't know how many of you saw, but a while back we had there was a NASA shot. If Sean Morton were here, he could tell you the exact details on it. But there's a picture taken from one of our Challenger missions, and I think it was from the Atlantis. And they videotape was caught of a saucer ship a little ways away, and all of a sudden it jumps, and this beam comes flying up. And the ship jumps out of the way, and this beam goes sailing by the saucer. Well, that is what Star Wars is all about. I started working on Star Wars in Aeronautics, which is a division of Rockwell, in 1962 on a program that was called the ILAS program. And what our job was to do with that, because I've done a lot of work with lasers even then, was to develop a laser that could be also mixed with a particle beam to create a weapon. And we did, in fact, that. And it is in place, and it is in operation. How many of you have seen these big green flashes across the sky or heard of them? These big green flashes are caused by the destruction of these different ships that are coming here that are not friendly when they get struck by one of these beams that was very similar to the one that was taken from the Atlanta space shuttle. I was in Newport Beach, as I live in Laguna Beach, California, and I was in Newport Beach about 2 weeks ago driving down the coast. And I always carry a camera now, because now I'm taking pictures of when I have contacts with the groups that I'm dealing with, I'm taking pictures of their technology and their ships, and I'll show some of them in my slides, some of my newest pictures. I had my camera with me, but I didn't have it set. And as I was going down Pacific Coast Highway, I saw this white beam come from very high altitude, and first I thought, here comes the meteor. And it was just right after sunset, so you could see the lighter sky and the darker sky, and it was still fairly lit. It was like about 20 minutes after sunset. And all of a sudden, this beam came down and hit this green object, and this green object broke in half and started shooting green spots all over the place, like showers. And then the two of them came down, and two more white beams of light came down and hit it again, and it broke into a million pieces. So that was a battle right over Newport Beach, as far as I was concerned. And I talked to some people in the field, and he says there's a lot more to it than that right now. So we are having visitations. There is a lot going on. And what we've done is we've created, you know, a whole series of science to deal with. Our physical bodies have to change now to host this energy. As this compression of the planes is starting to take place, whereas the astral plane is starting to merge with the physical plane, strange phenomena and many doorways in the fourth dimension start to open. That's why a lot of times you'll see headlines. You know, on one slide I've got, it talks about front cover of Time magazine saying that 65 or 80% of America believe in angels now. Why do they? You know, it's starting to happen. But when you have this compression of the planes, then you have a blockage to the astral plane of disincarnating souls. In other words, in lay terms, 400 years ago, how many people lived on the planet? Not very many in comparison to how many we have now, right? There were several billion people missing on the surface of this planet 400 years ago. Today, we've got 6 to 8 billion people. Where were all those souls when they weren't, a few years ago, just a few years ago, and now they're here? So what's happening is the astral plane is now unloading itself onto the physical plane. This is what the Bible talks about in Armageddon. It talks about the Great White Throne Judgment Day. And all of these things are well known. They were well known even to Hitler with his idea of the 1,000 years of Reich, but they're also well known to the Greys, secret government, NSC, and this whole program of these extraterrestrials trying to conquer and steal a lot of our consciousness away from us is being expedited under Revelation. It's the perfect place to sit. And who's to say that the writers of Revelation didn't suspect this would happen in the first place? An example, you realize that 400,000 people in this country at least are implanted. How does an implant work? Well, a typical example would be 1984 when Whitney, I forget his first name, but this guy named Whitney, started writing a diary. He says, I'm going to kill my wife. I'm a Christian person. I don't believe in death and killing and hurting people. I'm going to kill my wife. Something inside of my head is saying I can't control myself. And so he did. And then he went up on a on the Austin, Texas school tower and shot 14 people as a sniper with an automatic weapon before he was killed. They made a diary out of it. It was on ABC. They did a CAT scan on him like we've done on a lot of people and found two implants in his brain. It was announced on ABC during that movie. Then the government stepped in and began to legislate the disarmament of America and take away our constitutional rights. Because every time one of these incidents is created, what happens is the government comes in and starts to take away more and more constitutional rights. When FEMA was formed, for example, Federal Emergency Management Act was formed to enforce martial law. Martial law was, they figured that was going to have to be enacted when the terrorists could start carrying nuclear weapons around in the size of a briefcase, which Saddam Hussein was set up as being able to produce these briefcases, but in fact he wasn't able to do that. It were produced somewhere else in the world. But that just brings you right up to the forefront of where we are now, some of the problems that we're facing on a bigger level. And that's how we get into taking care of ourselves and taking care of our frequency of our bodies and understanding how we can do something about this and not allow all this to happen around us. Because if you don't take care of you, the government will, and you won't like their results, believe me. They aren't very nice. We began to study back a few years ago the orchestration of all these negative things, and I did a whole lot of work, and I sold more Global 2000 reports than the government could print. How many of you remember the Global 2000 report? It came out during the Reagan administration, put together during the Carter administration. 40 different countries put it together. 19 federal agencies put it together. It was a pretty powerful report. And then in 1981, it was characterized as a Haig Kissinger depopulation policy, because in fact, what they were really doing, when we found out what the report was really all about, was genetically engineering things like HIV and putting them out to the world and trying to kill people and depopulate a good portion of the world. And this is what began. This is where we are now. When they told you the ozone layer was being destroyed, it wasn't being destroyed by fluorocarbons. It was being destroyed by high-flying jet aircraft. Even in the Global Report, it told you that that's where the destruction was actually coming from. So it goes on and on. When they began to realize herpes 1, 2, and 3 in the colleges, when they were introduced, because they knew college people would spread this was the hosting place for the marriage of the cattle, the sheep bovine and the cattle virus that came later on, the HIV virus that we know it today. It came together in 1978 in San Francisco when they injected 2,000 people with a serum that was similar to it, and they all manifested cases of AIDS, and it was spread to Africa. In Mobile, Alabama, in 1960, the U.S. government, under the polio auspices, the polio vaccination, injected 1 million American people. So you can get an idea. They were busted for it, and some of that came out during the Clinton administration. What could he do? Apologize for four generations back. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on. So this takes away your consciousness. So now we have a science now that brings it back. And when we start working with the human body, that's the first place that we work. I mean, yeah, we do work with time travel and things like that, but that's not our main focus right now. Our main focus right now is to make you function better under different types of environmental stresses. The whole science of the health industry today is based on the biochemistry of the body, vitamins, herbs, things like that. And it's one thing that people don't even realize when you go right down in minerals. Minerals is the first thing that we got to put into our bodies. Like I say, minerals are 5% of your body controlling 95% of your metabolic functions. The minerals operate in three different frequencies. You have your low-frequency minerals, which operate through the autonomic nervous system, which causes your heart to beat, your breathing to happen, those kinds of things. If those are in balance, you'll never have to worry about cholesterol levels, because cholesterol is manufactured in the liver. But if you throw that mineral content of your body out, you're going to have, I don't care whether you eat butter, margarine, or what, if you don't, you're going to have cholesterol problems. So you've got to get the low-frequency minerals in the body in check. Then we have the mid-frequency body minerals in the body. And I bet you don't even understand those. I'm going to ask you a question. Those of you that heard me speak before know the answer. Don't answer it. But if you start to get sick right now, today, and you start to get a sore throat, and you're not feeling too good, and you go to the health food store, what's the first thing you think you're going to buy? Vitamin C, that's what everybody says, right? That's the worst thing you can put in your body when you start to get sick. That's the worst thing you can do. It's only expressing the ignorance that allows you to get sick in the first place a step further. Do you know why? When you start to get sick, first of all, your immune system is your consciousness. You know, whether you're meditating with aliens or talking to them or meditating to yourself or writing a book or being creative, that's your immune system. When you do drugs and stuff and drink alcohol, you're playing with your immune system. That's the high you're going to get out of it. So you're playing with your immune system. It's a consciousness. Okay? It has a central frequency in the DNA, in the body. Okay? And so what happens is when the immune system can't maintain its integrity, it drops the DNA frequencies of the body. When the DNA frequencies drop of the body, then what happens is the white cell count drops. Okay? The white cell count drops, and here comes an invader. An alien RNA, we call them. An alien RNA that wants to build its own DNA. So your body has already dropped its defense. Here comes this alien invader, just like aliens from space, into your body. It starts attacking all the protein in your cells and taking them over and making, you know, viral infections of alien things that shouldn't be in your body. And you put vitamin C in there, what is it going to do? It feeds the invader. Because the body has lost its intelligence to discriminate what's good and what's bad. Okay? That's a fact. And most people that are guilty of that, putting vitamin C in their bodies, are people that don't even take it in the first place, which even makes it worse. They've read about it, they've heard about it, their friends do it when they get sick, so they go and do it. Okay? You might as well just be jumping off a cliff. What you need to do is get your intelligence back in your body. You know how you do that? With a mineral. Chromium picolinate. I mean, any AIDS patient that's smart can tell you that's the first thing he put in his body, because they know already. Chromium picolinate. Put that in your body. When that goes into your body, it starts to bring your frequency back up. Your body's 5% mineral, controls 95% of your metabolic functions, its central frequency. Put chromium picolinate in your body, lots of it, for at least half a day to restore the DNA to its potential so it knows the difference. At the same time, when you put chromium picolinate in, automatically your white blood cell count will skyrocket. Remember, the white blood cells are the guys that are going to go in there and destroy these alien invaders. When you get your body up and running again, you may not be feeling a whole lot better, but your body is feeling better. You may not feel it in your mind yet. Then get some vitamin A in your system, which is what we call a first ray vitamin. Works with the will. Vitamin A. Huge amounts of that. And then when your will is working, your system's balancing, now you can jam yourself with all the vitamin C, and boy, it'll work just great. You know? Simple stuff like that. People on this planet, as highly educated as we are, don't know that. You know? They still don't know how to take care of themselves. And there's, you know, it's like, and forget antibiotics. You know, there are so many of those out there now. There's 6 for every known disease known to man. And we put so many antibiotics in our system, they're in our water table, they're everywhere in the world, but they don't work anymore. You know, back 300 or 400 years ago, syphilis or gonorrhea was considered a fatal disease, made you blind and crazy and everything. Then back in the 40s and 50s, it was treated like the common cold with tetracycline. Today it's a fatal disease again because antibiotics don't work. So I had to get into formulation to deal with this. And when I got into formulation, I started using silver, for example, colloidal silver. I use a lot of that in my formulas now. You know, the Chinese used it 3,000 years ago to sail across the world. If you get out there on a boat and you got a glass of water or a barrel of water, it's going to keep you alive for 3 months in a sailing ship going across the ocean. And you don't keep that water fresh, in 3 or 4 weeks, you've got mold in there and you can't drink that water. Even now, oh, you're out in the middle of the ocean, so they put a silver coin in. The FDA approved it in 1938 as an over-the-counter drug. It fights funguses, it fights bacteria and viruses. It gets them all, and it doesn't hurt you as long as it's done. But a lot of these home labs that make it with these machines that you buy and stick them at home, particle size is too big. You get those large particles in your body, doing to make it at home, you don't know what you're doing, you're going to jam up all your organs. After 4 or 5 years, you're going to hurt yourself. So I make a very small particle-sized colloidal silver when I make it. I use it in a lot of my formulas. The next area that we need to get into is trace minerals. Trace minerals don't exist in your food today. There's no way to get them in your body. Trace minerals work through your parasympathetic nervous system. You know, when I have built these devices that extend your aura. We use them for connecting people up, making contactees. I've been a contactee most of my life, and I've trained many people to become contactees. I don't do it on a big group level like Stephen Greer does. I do it on a very... I train people like Sai Baba, and I train very specialized, the Dalai Lama.
Well, you can get to the other side of the rest of that last Saturday night, as I was saying. So now we're going to go ahead and run a... really cool little show from the past with some other information on it coming right on up. It's just imagine yourself in a nice Los
Angeles
morning.
Good morning to you, Southern California. Whoa. You are tuned to your talk alternative, 93.5 KFOX. It is now time for Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Now live from Laguna Beach, California, here is Dr. Fred Bell. Dr. Bell, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Now, what is all this I hear about a crash?
Well, I crashed my flying saucer on the freeway this morning on the way back from Venus last night. I had a late date.
Well, that's what happens when you, go out of town with those things.
Well, I had some of that Venusian milkshake, and it absolutely got me real crazy on the control stick.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, I know that, but according to Kimberly, I'm looking out, beautiful Laguna Beach is all cloudy,
Yeah.
She made it cloudy here. She talked about her chariot all morning here.
Well, she had a very upsetting experience that I can identify with.
Well, I've had a few of those, It's really rough when I get on my motorcycle and have the same experience,
Yes. Did you get a chance to hear Frederick, by the way, this morning?
No, I didn't get a chance to hear him earlier enough. Could you reiterate?
Well, I can't because I'm not Frederick. All I can tell you is that Frederick is one of the most articulate, overwhelming personalities I have ever met. He is very well versed in the Vedas.
Uh-huh.
He is steeped in Hindu philosophy.
Right.
And he claims to be from Arcturus. And that is about all I'm going to comment on Frederick, because we're going to have him back, and he stimulated a lot of calls and was very, very fascinating.
Sounds like you guys had a lot of fun this morning.
Oh, I had a lot of fun. I was just sorry to hear about Kimberly. That was terrible, and I'm sure she'll rebound from that, though.
Yeah, well, if I'd had my act together, I wouldn't have gotten back from Venus so late last night.
Were you taking some psychedelics or something?
No, I would like to, though. No, actually, the best I could do is a glass of wine late at night. I gave up psychedelics a while back because the problem was, I found that I don't come down from those things, I take them and I just go out for, forever. As a matter of fact, I have to eat a lot of meat these days to even stay down because I get the same effect from eating, vegetables and raw foods that most people do from psychedelics.
Well, that is fascinating.
It's true, Well, yesterday we were talking about the system, we started getting into how to align it and what it does, but
yes.
Having been in one for 14 years, I'll tell you, Jim, back in the early 70s and late 60s, yes, I did take a few psychedelics, like every day, for about a year, after I sold my electronics company because I was like running away from everything. Today, my attitude is accept everything, but in those days, I didn't know any better.
Yes, well, you're one these days that preaches purity of body and mind.
Yeah. But, what was interesting is what I strived back in those days when I would come down from psilocybin was my big thing in those days, but when I would come down from the experience, I would ground out for a couple of days. I was a strict vegetarian then, and I'd go back up again. I just couldn't be on this plane. I couldn't be bothered with the mundane things that happened on the Earth-type plane. Today, after the time machine, right, which we've talked about in previous shows, after the time machine, which showed me that everything is happening now, right now, like the most dearly thing that I could be doing right now is talking to you, For you and I to exchange energy is the best thing that could ever happen at this point in time, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And our interchange is shared by lots and lots and lots of listeners. That, to make that statement 10 years ago, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, all right, Jim, you believe what you believe in. I believe what I believe in. I'll see you later, But today, it's like, I've learned about seasoning, about spice, because, the future is right now. We can take off any time we want. Now, the more grounded out that you become through whatever means that you use to become grounded out, when you do lift off, because you're grounded out, you lift off entire segments of society with you, which is natural. You know what I mean? And it's our job, it's your job, and it's my job to have these kinds of communiques that we have on the phone here and on the air with all of our listeners, because we are raising consciousness at the moment that we share new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage every listener out there to share new ideas, whether they be good or whether they be bad, whether you're insecure about them or whether you're confident about them, share them with your friends, because sharing is just so important, you know. Sound like Kimberly Hart now, don't I?
Well, I was thinking, what I agree with what you say. I think that we should constantly hypothesize new ideas, and then we should try and validate them with evidence from the real world.
Yeah, no, I totally realize that and totally agree with you 100%, you know. But anyway, you know, back in the 60s when I was doing all this crazy stuff in the early 70s, to get high, at some point in time I realized the idea is not to get high, it's to be high, you know, all the time. So today, I have to go out and find myself at least twice a week eating some meat, you know, which I wouldn't have done back in the early 70s, late 60s when I was a strict vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was absolutely revolting to think about, you know, killing an animal to sustain my own life, you know. Realize that when you harvest the plant, you're doing the same thing on a more, you know, lesser level. But the fact is, what you have to do is give thanks, you know. You have to revere what is being put into your stomach. You know, that's like saying a prayer over each meal, which I've learned to do.
But, you know, I let me just stop you there for 1 second, because I think you made a very important point when you were talking about the essence of life in both the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. If you are a vegetarian, and again, I'm throwing this out as an opinion, it would seem to me that what you are doing is giving the animal kingdom preference over the, or you're showing more reverence towards the animal kingdom, because you won't kill them, but you're perfectly willing to eat the vegetable kingdom, the plant kingdom.
That's totally true. And what it boils down to is good old karma, you know.
Uh-huh.
When you eat a vegetable, you take on a certain karma that in a period of time makes you very yinned out. When you get into the animal, it's, you know, called the yang energy. But the fact is, you need to balance the two. Someday, we'll reach a point where we become breatharians, and we'll only breathe the oxygen, you know, of the earth and the nitrogen in the earth, and transmute the energy. Meanwhile, the animal is giving a willing sacrifice to him, and, you know, you can go out and make headlines all over the world, or I could go out and make headlines all over the world about how inhumane it is to kill an animal for us to live. But the fact is, if either one of us did that, it would have no effect on society for more than a few milliseconds.
Right. As a matter of fact, right now, it's interesting you bring that up, because there's a lot of controversy over the little baby that had the baboon's heart implanted.
Yeah, that's real interesting, you know, that kind of heart transplant.
But some people don't believe that it was right to kill the young baboon so that the young baby could live.
Well, you know, it's like about 3 or 4 days ago, you guys had reached a really intimate conversation when you were talking about ultrasound and observing an abortion and how the young fetus was reacting to the tongs of the doctor that was going in there, and how after he had seen that on the ultrasound, he never did an abortion again. And at that point in time, I remember that you and the doctor that you were talking to had made the comment, at what point does a soul enter onto the scene? You know, that was one of the questions that I asked one of my Tibetan teachers a long time ago.
And the answer?
Well, the answer was very simple. The soul overshadows the mother and the father long before the child is, you know, inseminated or is beginning. The soul is like remember we talked about the bee and the beehive and the angel?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the soul overshadows, you know, the mother and the father. I don't really know where it begins, but it's somewhere at the point in the relationship when they're like heavy dating or any kind of seriousness or commitments are made. That much I learned from the Tibetans, that the overshadowing begins there. And as the mother, once the mother gets pregnant, the soul, the sphere of influence, which is called a ring pass knot by the Tibetans, as the fetus becomes more and more, you know, alive and more larger and large in the woman's stomach, it's the soul level on the physical plane becomes less and less and less, the sphere of influence. For example, when the opposite of that one would be a person that died, say, on the operating table. My grandfather was the first case in New York to do that. And then And then 6 hours later, he woke up in the Buffalo morgue, you know. He was pronounced dead, but he wakes up in the morgue in a refrigerated section, wide awake, you know, and alive. He had had this experience of all around his periphery and an experience of his wife that had died of cancer 10 years before that, my grandmother. Well, imagine the reverse of that. And it's common sense if you think about it. The soul that overshadows the mother and the father becomes less and less the sphere of influence, which is called the ring pass now. It becomes less and less and less as the fetus reaches maturation toward expression on the physical plane. So the soul, which is presiding over the mother and father, loses its power and slowly surrenders to the birth state, the state of birth. Because at that point, it's the same thing as my grandfather went through, or lots of people went through, where they wake up and they're on the physical plane. And it's common sense. If you think about it, it's not that complicated. Example, why does a soul surrender, you know, itself and surround itself to a mother and father? Look at the castles in Europe, okay? Most of the German castles, especially up in the Carpathian Mountains in Hungary and in Yugoslavia, the castles that are there are very, very, very large structures, not built in one lifetime, built in many, many, many lifetimes, because the master soul would continually reincarnate again and again and again into the family structure. And this is what the desire was of that family, because the most powerful unit of energy, and we've said it many times on this show, energy cannot be created, energy cannot be destroyed, but the most powerful unit of energy, and think about it, is the family unit. What is more awesome than the power of a family? What, you know, if God is for real and we have our freedom, what can extend beyond the family unit? We have our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and fathers. And this feeling goes on and on and on again, and it grows. So applying that knowledge, which is what the Tibetans teach us about, which is what I was talking about yesterday in the synthesizing of the Eastern and the Western philosophies, it's not so hard to see how that works. You know, it works in Europe. Europe is a very strong culture. When scientists, for example, want to look at negative ionization, we look at cultures. We look at the effects, for example, of the full moon and the new moon on civilization. We looked at the Shirav, the Hamzin, you know, all the different names that have been given to the witches' winds over centuries. And we look at the reactions of people. Like, for example, in Turkey, there are laws that are 1,000 years old saying that if crimes are committed, you know, during the full moon or during the Shirav over there, there's a certain leniency given on the court to the person, the offender, you know, because of this condition which produces high serotonin levels. So we look at cultures that have shown us a lot. In America, you know, America is a very dear country to me, being an American. But unfortunately, what we lack in this country is culture. We really lack reflection on our ancestry, and we should respect that, because if our ancestors didn't exist, we wouldn't exist. And so when you get into the philosophies of abortion and that, what you're doing when you take that place, first of all, when you do an abortion, you are removing that oversoul, that overshadowing energy, back to the cosmos. You're not getting rid of it. It will sit there and wait for another opportunity, and it will come again and again until it is finally allowed to express itself. But you're also saying that, you know, you're not accepting responsibility of the parenthood that brought you into this world. Like, you know, like Jim, I'm sure somebody changed your diapers, right, when you were a kid?
No, I was very prolific as a... Of course.
Yeah, right, me too.
I don't remember it, though.
Yeah, well, you should. I mean, you were a mess. I remember it. But anyway, all kidding aside, you know, karma, the art of sacrifice, right? You know, it's like I have a daughter that's 5, and I didn't have any problem changing her diapers when she made a mess out of them. I had no problem because I was doing for her what my parents did for me. You know, if anything, I was getting rid of this karmic obligation that I had, because when somebody serves you, you learn in the art of service to relinquish that energy. Now, of course, being a scientist, I had shortcuts. You know, I never changed diapers, you know, like the average person does. If she did the big number two in the diapers, I put her in the sink and turned the water on at a nice level where it was comfortable and flushed it all down the garbage disposal. I mean, there's scientific methods that you can use here. The fact is, I honored that responsibility. You know?
It sounds very assembly-like.
Yeah, it was that way. But anyway, what we were talking about yesterday was setting up the systems in the house. Remember that? And I think I better get back to the subject here before I get rid of the whole program.
That's okay. I enjoyed just listening to you.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll listen to me. Listen to you a little bit, you know. I enjoyed the chariot conversations earlier today, and I just had to get into that feeling, you know, because obviously Kimberly wanted us to, you know. She created a whole thing for the rest of the day, which is okay. I accept that, because maybe I'll do that tomorrow. You know?
No, you can choose to react to that situation any way you want to.
Yeah, I know. You know, as we talk, it gets darker and darker down here. Maybe we're going to have an earthquake in a few minutes.
Is there a large dark cloud moving over a Laguna now? Or?
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
it's the mothership.
Starting
right?
About 10:30, you know, it actually got crazy. I was expecting the rain any minute down here, you know.
I want to stop for just a second and remind everyone they are listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. On this Tuesday morning, we do this Monday through Friday between 11 o'clock and 11:30 on your talk alternative. Dr. Bell, now, are you sure there is not a mothership in that cloud?
Well, I'll tell you, in another month or so, I wouldn't argue with that, you know. And it won't be too long before we see a few of those around here. Like, I think the one that our beloved friend the other day saw, you know, the one back east.
Which one are we talking
Alan
about?
Alan Hynek.
Oh, Dr. Hynek's report of the flap back in upstate New York and Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, what's funny, that's where he had, you know, he was like a, I remember when he was contracted by the Air Force, because I was in the Air Force, and it was amazing because he was the number one skeptic. I mean, that guy could explain away a sighting in the swamp gas, and me being from Ann Arbor, Michigan, had seen lots of swamp gas, and I'd also seen lots of big, huge, you know, radio telescope set in the swamp, which would be a feature attraction for a UFO.
Well, you know, Dr. Hynek never really said that UFOs were swamp gas.
No. He did in the very beginning. In the very beginning, he did. And then he had an experience at Marymount College back east in Connecticut, where he went in to investigate a UFO sighting. And, you know, while he was investigating it, they had one, and he was a witness.
Well,
that turned him around.
What I've got to say, in fairness to Dr. Hynek, what he has said to me when I've asked him about that, mm-hmm. he claims that there was a press conference being held, and, of course, he had to explain these massive sightings there in Michigan.
Right.
And so he was up against the wall, and he said it is possible that some of these sightings might just be swamp gas. I mean,
right.
He really hedged his bet there. And then, of course, the press zipped out of the room and said, Hynek says UFO is swamp gas.
Right. Well, he's over that one now.
Well, he's got a good sense of humor about that, too, by the way.
I know it. But I remember when it happened. Because I was on Project Blue Book on the back end of it. And mm-hmm. he was coming on the front end of whatever they called his project, you know. So I was like, phasing out, and he was phasing in. It was a real interesting thing. But the stuff that we've been talking about with the systems, where I started to explain the alignment yesterday, you know, remember how we drew the circle and did all that?
Yes.
That information came to me through extraterrestrial sources, and because I could have never thought this up. I'm not that creative. But having, you know, created this type of equipment and having spread it all over the face of this planet, because it's literally in every country right now, and then having seen the results of it, it's just totally awesome, and I just want to share that with you, you know. But we were talking yesterday about the Systems 3 and setting it up, you know. Remember how I described making a 10-foot circle?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And in the 10-foot circle, we had drawn a north and south line with a compass, and we marked the point where the line intersected the circle at the north was T1. And then on that same line between north and south, we had drawn a 52-degree angle, called that T2. And we had drawn one off of that, called it T3. And what we had discussed yesterday was the fact the pyramid, if you took the angle of the side of the pyramid and divided by 7, you would have, you know, the actual 7 divisions in a circle. So you'd have 7... you know, concentric or even divisions in a circle. And what happens is, when you, you know, I explained yesterday about how we put up the irradiators, those tall columns, and the units that went in the bottom, and they were filled with crystals. And what happens is, when you set or put a structure like that up in your living room or wherever, it immediately becomes attuned to the rotation of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And as, because it's aligned, see, all you have to do to get into this cosmic energy, or whatever you want to call it, you know, if you can call it terrestrial energy, all you have to do is set up a structure that is resonant to the frequencies of gravity and set the structure up in alignment with the motion of the Earth and the Moon and the Sun and all the other things that happen. So that's precisely what we do when we set one of our systems up.
Dr. Bell, excuse me for interrupting, but I have been handed a note that I think I should announce, and that is that your seminar will be November 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the Unity by the Sea Church, I guess that is, at 1245 4th Street in Santa Monica. Now, did you even know that?
Yeah, I had it here, as a matter of fact. I'm glad you remind me, and little Debbie's on her way in. She's probably listening to us right now. She's not there already.
She is already here. I see her smiling visage through the glass. So that is the seminar, November 15th, 7:30 p.m. at Unity by the Sea, 1245 4th Street in Santa Monica. And do people make reservations for that?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, when Debbie Kenna comes on the air, she's going to explain it all, and I'm going to listen.
Okay. You just show up and do your thing, right?
Yeah. I'm the peripheral scientist out here in the fringes waiting for Miss Goddess to tell me when and where I'm supposed to appear.
Okay.
I guarantee I'll be there. But it says the corner
on time, right? You'll be there on time too, right?
Yeah, I guarantee I won't be late like the last.
The last night I was sweating it out.
But I got there.
Yes, you did, and you had quite.
Not only that, when I got there, we kept it going, and you guys all fell asleep in the back, and then we just kept on going, you know.
Now, wait a minute. We had a good time there. You know, we've got a phone call for you. Let's go to the phone lines right now.
Okay.
On line six, we've got Greg. Greg, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, Greg?
Good. I'm doing good, Fred.
Oh, good.
I know you get a lot of compliments about your systems and things, and I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I've been wearing this one pyramid on my head now for a couple months.
2 months? Which one?
You know, I don't even know.
Well, is it real lightweight or is it heavy?
It's light.
Oh, it's a titanium one, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I bought one from you at the last seminar, and
okay.
I loaned it to a friend of mine who's an acupuncturist.
Right.
And he charges pendulum with it.
Right.
So he wouldn't give it back to me, so I'm borrowing one from Olivia. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that I've gone through more growth, you know, with this thing. I feel so much more connected to the higher energies and so much more.
You know, like I was saying at the very first part of our show, I used to have to take drugs, you know, like psilocybin and LSD back in the late 60s, early 70s to get high. And then suddenly I discovered somewhere along the way when Ralph Metzner came back from India and Timothy O'Leary, that got really, you know, balanced out, that you don't have to get high, you just be high. And one of the things about wearing the pyramid is it naturally brings your body up to a higher level of vibration. It's like the system we've been talking about.
Right.
Yeah, the system is like 10,000 times what wearing that pyramid is. But I wore, you know, one of the few people told me, one of the perpetuators of this knowledge was the guy up north does a spirulina, you know, Christopher Hill. And he has some comment, you know, he's a great spirulina man and a great pendulum man. He doesn't know anything about pyramids because he's come out with this stuff about negative green, right? Which was nothing more than a positive ion created by a plastic or aluminum framed pyramid. So to disprove what people were saying about pyramids, I wore every single day of my life for 8 years a pyramid on my head. I was never seen in the home, out of the home, or in public without my pyramid. I did it for 8 years to prove the point. I have a 5-year-old daughter that was born in one. The bottom line of the pyramid is it raises consciousness very quickly.
Last week, I've been doubling up on my vitamins lately, and I've been wearing this thing. Last week, I left here Friday with so much energy, I felt like I was going into outer space.
Yeah, you got to be careful, because what will happen is you'll get so high and so confident within your, you know, within your own nature that you won't relate to people properly, so don't get too far out there.
How do you control all this energy when you're amplifying it 10 times, like, with these systems in the house?
If your lifestyle will allow it to perpetuate, you will automatically attract to you people of the same energy field. If your lifestyle will not allow that, you'll become isolated. So isolation will bring you back by itself. It speaks, you know, it's a nature and a voice within itself. But, you know, you might meet some really neat people.
Yeah, well, you know, I used to design antennas for aircraft.
Did you?
Yeah. And what was really fascinating for me was that when I read about your pyramids, that they're actually antennas.
Oh, yeah. NASA came out with a what's called a tech brief back about 1969, showing how that you could take a pyramid structure in a grid system, connect it to a diode and a capacitor, and get electricity from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we, you know, I used to sit there
a lot of work with pyramids. They're using pyramids now. They used it for ESP experiments on the first moonwalk too. But this is the kind of stuff the public never really got into. You know, they didn't really talk about
right.
it.
Right. So I guess the frequency generator then, you said, is the vibration of gravity?
Well, no, what it allows you, the pyramids are all the way across the spectrum of color. And
right.
the pyramid feeds the hydrogen atom within the body. So what it does is allow you, your conscious mind, to become aware of, you know, similar harmonious vibrations, and one of them could be, you know, gravity. So what it does is it raises awareness so that you can become more scientific or more whatever.
You can know. You physically measure gain patterns off these things?
Oh, yeah. No problem at all. It's done with biofeedback equipment. One of the best pieces of equipment that I've ever done was an EMG, electromyograph, which measures the amount of electricity coming from the brain to a particular muscle in the body. And when you put a pyramid on, the EMG readings go up. This is considered orthodox medical equipment.
And Greg and Dr. Bell, we're going to have to move along. Greg, by the way, I got your letter the other day.
Great.
Thank you very much. It was very complimentary.
Welcome. I like to compliment all of you because you do such a good job. And I've really changed my life, really seriously, since this show. I've gone through so many great changes. That's why I just wanted to call Dr. Bell and tell him that I just feel so much more connected. I think I've gone through more growth in the last 2 years, and I've been trying to shake a lot of negativity for the past 5 years. And with this thing on my head, I've just really suddenly just feel not connected to all that negative stuff at all.
Right. That's exactly the way it works.
And your seminar is right up near my house, so I'll be seeing you up there later next month.
Okay.
Great.
Greg, thank you very much. And Dr. Bell, we're just about out of time.
Well, we had fun today, didn't we?
We did. We hit a number of topics, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
This is what you call a kickback day.
Now, let's give your address so that people can get a hold of you.
Okay, it's 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach, and the zip is 92651. And the phone number down here is area code 714-499-2603.
So that is the phone number and the address if you're interested in finding out about Excalibur. The synergistic vitamin, if you're interested in finding out about pyramids, nuclear receptors, any of your products, right?
Any of them, all the way up to time travel, you know.
And when is Death of Ignorance going to be back?
Well, we got our Xerox, our 1048 in a week ago. It doesn't work. It's a new machine. It prints both sides, 50, you know, copies per minute. So as soon as Xerox finishes up my machine, we're ready to go on it. So I would say realistically about 45 more days now.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. And Dr. Bell, we'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Bye-bye. Oh, can you hold on a second? As a matter of fact, somebody wants to talk to you, I think.
We're going to go over the bounds here, huh?
You hold on, but you hold on. I think somebody's going to grab the line, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that concludes the Health Energy Science show for the evening. A whopping 50 minutes of power-packed entertainment. You couldn't have bought this somewhere else. And it sure as heck isn't free. Anyhow, we'll see you next Saturday night when we'll be talking more about the book. We don't have a lot of guests coming on right now. That's on purpose because it's important that we get our own message out. With all this satellite stuff that's going on. And like I say, I would definitely check last night's show. That was a a real whapper, to say the least. Steve Barish was really shining bright. And don't forget to catch his show later on. His show is at 3 o'clock, I forgot, Pacific time, which is 6 o'clock Eastern time. So that's every Saturday. You can reach me at fredbell@paradigm.com. I notice people are starting to email. I'm getting a lot of Ustreamers, hundreds of them actually now, coming on board, and that's great. And we can also be reached at 1-800-729-2603. So, sayonara till next weekend. We'll have some more fun.